What?
Oh, well.
It is February, excuse me, March 23rd, 2015, UFF, UWF Collective Bargaining. I'm Brendan Kelly.
Cindy Faria.
Daniel Pace.
John Fink.
Enid Siskin.
And Ryan Amin.
Okay, great. A couple things before we start. We did have a chance to review the MOU for the domestic partner benefits, and you know, it looks fine. We're glad to see in there that there's that caveat about if the state were to change somehow the current laws, if they were to change again, that the university would put that forward. So I know Mike's not here today, so we can hold off on any sort of moving forward on that. But we did review it, and it looks fine. One of the things that we had hoped to do today is to identify articles to open. We are prepared to do that today. The process, we had talked about it briefly previously, the process I think that we'd like to propose is that, you know, we each have them written down on a piece of paper, and that, because we're each team is allowed to open two additional articles, and that we reveal those simultaneously. The benefit of that, I think, is that it's not one team picking and then the other. If there's any redundancy in the articles, if hypothetically we were both open the same articles, neither team would have a chance to go back and say, oh, well, let me go find a separate one, something like that. That would be the entire scope of the bargaining session if there is redundancy. Is that?
Yeah, we're comfortable with that.
Okay. We're prepared to do that.
Yeah, shall we?
Okay.
One, two, three. Okay. There you go. All right.
Okay. There you go. Okay. We opened articles sabbatical and tenure.
Great.
Which one? And you guys, let's see. What is 11? Can you tell me which are 11 and 19?
Oh, geez. You want the specific titles? I would have to look them up.
Yeah, I think that's.
Yeah, Dave Minato brought my book.
Yeah, I think it's
the easiest.
Disciplinary action, maybe, and faculty performance evaluations is what I'm guessing.
Leaves.
Come in.
Is 19.
Okay.
And performance evaluation is 11.
Okay.
Oops, why don't I set up?
Morning.
Good
morning. Yeah. Sure.
Okay, perfect.
Stay next to John and keep him honest.
Oh, please. Line up.
I tell him.
Okay, we just exchanged articles.
Right.
We have sabbaticals and tenure, and they have performance evals and leaves.
Okay.
For the two. And obviously, benefits and salary in addition to that. Did you guys have any responses? We put forward the benefit proposal last time about the increasing the tuition reimbursement for. Did you guys have any comments on that? Or
not today, no.
Feedback? Okay. If it's okay, can we take a short caucus real quick?
Sure. Then,
We're recording.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Be careful.
Yeah. If you want to have team mascots, we can do. You guys can be team Chihuahua.
Right.
Okay. Are we rolling?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What we thought would be helpful, just for time's sake, is to go ahead and I know you guys can't respond today, but to go ahead and put forward a couple of proposals that you can take back and review.
Okay.
Connected to the articles that we've opened on here. The first one. One of the things, this is for the tenure article.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we've talked about before when looking at the contract is trying to find places where there are clear problems that can be addressed through the contract and looking at situations that can do that. So one of the things we've been looking at is right now, in leaves, which is open now, when someone has a baby or a child and are dependents that they can take a formal leave of absence from the university, and their tenure clock stops. Right, if they take a formal leave, the problem is that many faculty in those live situations can't take a formal leave from the university because they're dependent on their income. And you take a formal leave, your income stops. Right, so. What we have is a proposal for tenure that creates a tenure clock extension when someone cannot take a formal leave of absence from the university. So it's on the last of the tenure article. So it says it's 16.11. It's now the new underlined language. So it specifically says it's a tenure clock extension without official leave. A faculty member can be granted a tenure clock extension for a total of no more than 2 years without official leave in the following two circumstances: childbearing and dependent care. Just to kind of summarize the language that you can a faculty member, a woman who bears one or more children during her tenure probationary period, shall be granted an exclusion of 1 year for each event of childbirth, with a maximum up to 2 years. The same thing exists for dependent care. This is, could be infants, children with health issues, newly adopted children, ill or injured partners, aging parents, etc., that they may be granted an extension of 1 year for the countable years of service that constitute the individual's tenure probationary period. And then there's language about the process that begins with a memo to the college dean, and that the total under any circumstances would be no more than 2 years may be excluded from the countable years of service. Events which occur in the faculty member's final year during the tenure probationary period, they may not be used as the basis for the application of this policy. So if you have a child in that final year, that's not able to be applied in that situation. We have one of the task force, one of the groups, we have the advanced group on campus who has been studying on a National Science Foundation grant the effects of tenure on tenure track women at UWF and in academia. They've provided a letter of support that this goes along with their initiatives. An additional element of this, I think, is that when the university receives high-profile grants, you know, a lot of, you know, government money, things like the National Science Foundation grants, I think it's incumbent upon us to try and initiate practical changes based on that. To illustrate the things that we're using this grant money for, right? If we have this grant and this study and there's no nothing implemented, you know, I certainly imagine that these granting agencies will say, "Well, wait a minute, we gave you all this money, yet no changes have been implemented." So we think this will also be a good extension of that grant. Any questions?
No.
Okay. Put your sitting around.
16.11B, if I'm reading this correctly, it looks like you're making that available only to women, not to men. Only the female parent, not the male parent. Was that your intention?
Yes, it's a good question. The way in which, and all these things can be negotiated, of course, but the way in which it has been written is that specifically for a woman who bears a child, you know, that this would be, they would have access to this right. Now, the demands of caring for dependents, so if you were a male faculty member or if you're in a same-sex relationship or marriage or something like this, that, and you have a child, you could still request up to 1 year extension under C, right? But that would be at the discretion of the university to grant. Okay. The second article that we have last, when we were in full book, we talked a little bit about sabbaticals and went through some discussions on sabbaticals. One of the things that I remember from that discussion, you know, one component we looked at was the ratio of sabbaticals offered. And what was articulated by your team was that even though there's a ratio in there, that's not a limiting ratio, that the provost can certainly allocate more and has been doing that of sabbaticals. I know it's kind of the where's Waldo, right? What language has changed? So we haven't changed anything on the ratio, but what we have addressed is on the full year three-quarter half pay, that we're proposing to increase the full year sabbatical from half pay to three-quarter pay. And it's somewhat similar to the previous proposal in that one of the things the university is trying to do right now, initiated by the provost, is to increase our research and scholarly production. So one of the best ways to do that, we believe, would be to increase that full year from half pay to three-quarter pay, which would allow more faculty financially to take that full year sabbatical and, by extension, increase their research production. Right now, the limiting factor on taking that full year sabbatical is a lot of faculty simply cannot afford going down to half pay for that full year. The provost has convened a research task force that looks at intended to provide recommendations for increasing research at the university, and they've also provided the co-chairs have provided a letter of support for this proposal as a vehicle to increase research production at the university. That's it.
Anything else?
Thank you.
Great.
Okay.
We
Dates. We should.
We can't do that without the rest of the team here.
Yes.
So let's do that. We'll provide some dates to you via email. Okay. We'll have the general counsel's office provide them.
Okay.
And we'll look for dates in April.
Okay.
Does that sound good? We will handle that probably starting tomorrow or Wednesday. And
okay.
And we'll just work that piece out.
Okay.
Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks, folks.